Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the Thursday episode for December 28th. We're counting down the days to the end of 2017, a pretty bad year all in all. I think we can agree on that in many respects. But we're going to talk about the bad news for the Pistons that came down on Wednesday morning, and also the hottest column talked about in Michigan this week, which was actually written by a friend of mine, Joseph Hayes. Again, this is Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. Been hosting Lock on Pistons for a couple of months now and enjoying spending time with the listeners on Twitter and the emails that you guys have been sending. I appreciate the interaction, and thanks for letting me into your earbuds on your commute or however you listen to Locked On Pistons. I said there would be no show today, but I lied, as the big injury and then one of my friends being in the news pushed me to stay up late tonight in Chicago and get this one done for you guys. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your holiday weekend to listen to this one. We'll have another one tomorrow, but then we may be off again for a couple days at the beginning of next week with the New Year holiday as well. And then back the middle of next week and then into the following week back to the regular schedule. But we'll have details on Reggie Jackson's injury on today's podcast and where the Pistons go from here, and my reaction on the new Nike City Edition Motor City uniforms that were unveiled. And then I'll also have thoughts on Joseph Hayes' column about Jim Caldwell being, you know, criticized and people wanting to have him fired as the Detroit Lions coach because of his race. I think you guys should all read that column and then send me your thoughts as well about what you thought about it. But shout out to listener Andy, who is making bank this football and basketball season from draft.com. And Andy is actually a good friend of mine who listens to the pod, but it's funny that Andy is killing it because we're in a fantasy football league together and he's just unspeakably bad sometimes in that league. He's probably fuming for me just saying that right now, because there's been like an 8-year stretch where I've been really bad too. So maybe career-wise he's passed me. I really don't know. But all of that is to say, you got to get on draft.com, go to the draft app, and try to beat listener Andy at Inglewood01. He's on the draft app. You can follow me on there at Matt Shook Twitter, or the handle there, Matt, S-C-H-O-C-H. Follow me on there, and then watch for an invitation from me on late Tuesday or Wednesday through the app, where I have all my followers invited to create the private league. When you sign up for draft.com or through the draft app, use promo code LOPISTONS when you sign up. Follow me at Matt Shook, and I'll invite you into that draft. We had a new follower today, and I sent an invite to the league, but it might have filled up before the time he got in. So shout out to Z Lincoln, whoever you are. I'll invite you early before everyone next week, so make sure that you get in. But the news about Reggie Jackson for the Detroit Pistons today was not good from the injury he suffered on Tuesday night in the win against the Indiana Pacers. It was a grade 3 sprained right ankle, and he will be reevaluated in 6 to 8 weeks. So not even a guarantee that he will be back in 6 to 8 weeks, as that's a blow for the Pistons to have their starting point guard and their leader in many ways go down for an extended period of time. By the way, it's exactly 7 weeks until Valentine's Day. I looked at the date at when Reggie might be coming back or thinking about it. So just about 7 weeks of shopping for you fellas out there. So make sure you get that perfect Valentine's Day gift, because Reggie Jackson might be coming back in gift form to the Pistons right around that time. But from now until then, exactly 7 weeks from Wednesday as I tape this, there are 24 games for the Pistons, including a February 14th game against the Hawks on Valentine's Day, if you're thinking about getting some tickets for your loved one on Valentine's Day. 12 of those 24 games are against playoff teams, and 12 of those 24 games are against non-playoff teams. So not exactly the hardest schedule that you can imagine, certainly not the hell week that the Pistons went through a couple weeks back for that 7-game losing streak. But with Jackson out, obviously you would think the most experienced, the natural candidate to be the starting point guard and getting the bulk of the minutes at the one is going to be Ish Smith, who's been handling very well the second unit for the Pistons this year and played really well when Jackson was out with an injury at the beginning of last season as well. And then you would expect also that Langston Galloway will get a lot more minutes at the one. He's played there very little so far this season, and he will probably get a chance to show that he's got that in his toolbox to be running the offense as well. Dwight Bikes, who made his Pistons debut against the Pacers in mop-up duty, 90 seconds of action the other night. He's been bouncing around between he's been actually in Grand Rapids all year, but he's a two-way player for the Pistons. He's got a little bit of NBA background from the Lakers and the Jazz, I believe, but he's had a cup of coffee and been in the G League for most of his career, but he might get some real minutes as a point guard option for Stan Van Gundy off the bench. And then you can imagine that guys like Avery Bradley, when he returns hopefully on January 3rd or somewhere around then for the Pistons, he'll be handling the ball a little bit more, and that might be a problem because he's had turnover problems this season, but hopefully he can adjust to maybe being a little bit more of a playmaker. Luke Kennard might have to step up in terms of the playmaking and not just be more of a spot-up shooter that you might have expected him to be throughout his rookie season. Guys like Stanley Johnson might have to step up on the playmaking and the ball handling as well. And you might see the Pistons run a little bit more half-court offense through a guy like Tobias Harris, who's been doing pretty good. Duncan Smith passed along some stats about him running the pick and roll on Twitter today. So you might see a little bit more of Tobias Harris as the ball handler on a pick and roll going forward. Some other names to think about: Beno Udrih, who was with the team last year. He was actually with the Pistons in training camp this year as well, as Stan Van Gundy was thinking about bringing him in as on the coaching staff, but he actually tried out for the team and was with them throughout the preseason, didn't get any run in preseason games, so obviously there wasn't an indication that he was close to making the team, but Stan Van Gundy spoke glowingly about him when he released him. He loves him, and maybe he could be an option, but it was reported by HoopsRumors.com, I found on the internet today, that he has actually signed with a team in Lithuania very recently, like within the week or something like that. I don't know if that's a contract he can get out of. I've tried to find that out myself at a couple of different places and haven't been able to figure that out. But ironically, right before he might have had his chance to come back with the Pistons and even get minutes, he's overseas. Another overseas guy that Pistons fans are talking about, maybe somewhat ironically, maybe be somewhat seriously, I really don't know. Former Piston Brandon Jennings, who's playing over in China. I don't know about his contract status, but he's not the same guy that Pistons fans remember when he had the one strong season and the surprising Stan Van Gundy run that team had it for a couple of the long winning streak that they had until he tore his Achilles getting an inbounds pass on a goofy looking play on the road a few years back. But Jennings and his NBA life the rest of the way didn't go very well. There's a reason he's playing in China. He's not the dynamic playmaker and scorer that he once was, especially in his short time with the Pistons. But the question is, do they make a trade? Do they make a signing? Do they find some more? Do they comb the G League for some more guys? The Detroit Bad Boys guys, I saw them on Twitter putting together some George Hill trade proposals. Sacramento is a team where George Hill plays on that doesn't really make a lot of sense for him sometimes. So maybe there is some certain guys out there. But we saw Indiana the other day. They got Darren Collison as their starting point guard. So it's not completely necessary that you need a dynamic point guard these days, especially when guys like Drummond and Harris are stepping up this year and playing a lot better offensively, that maybe they can get away with stealing a couple months without Reggie and relying on Ish Smith a lot more. But maybe Stan Van Gundy sees a trade out there. And as we know from Stan Van Gundy's past, if you're going to make a trade, you're not going to hear about it beforehand. But maybe he sees some value in moving one of the key pieces like Avery Bradley if they have a long-term projection of them not keeping him around this offseason when he becomes a free agent. Maybe they are reading some of those advanced stats, which seem to mentioned that Bradley's a little bit overrated defensively and even offensively as well. So maybe he sees a ceiling for that, or maybe a ceiling for a guy like Henry Ellenson or Stanley Johnson. Maybe they know more about the projections for them and don't feel as strongly as they appear on the outside about the futures of Henry Ellenson. And maybe the Stanley Johnson situation is one where a trade might be beneficial for them moving forward. Or maybe we'll have to wait until more of February for some of those trade talks and ideas to heat up. But the good news is it's a spot where the Pistons have depth as far as playmakers. They have a good backup point guard in Ish Smith. They have a guy you can move over right away at Langston Galloway. And you can add Andre Drummond to that list of guys that have been playmakers this year from his high post spot at times, and maybe ratchet up Tobias Harris's usage a little bit more in terms of making plays with the basketball. But again, I hate to be boring here, but certainly whatever you're going to think about doing, I think you got to go at least two or three games and kind of see how those in-house options work out. In a later podcast, we'll be talking about this topic as the injury goes on, because apparently we do have some time to talk about it over these next couple months. But I believe that for now, the answer is to see how things shake out and analyze if you think you need more of a point guard situation and help going forward. And if those opportunities present themselves value-wise on the free agent market, the overseas market, the G League market, and also the trade market as well. As time goes on, we will try to find some names throughout the NBA that might make sense. Maybe we'll bust out the trade machine and see if we can come up with some solutions as well. And maybe you guys can reach out to me on Twitter or at email at matt_schuch@yahoo.com with your own ideas of some possible trades that could come forward for the Pistons. But I'm also going to have some thoughts today on the new Nike City Edition Motor City uniforms that were introduced on Wednesday morning. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men in that coveted 18 to 44 demo to find out about your company, then this is your spot. Plus, all rates are reasonable. So email me at matt_schuch@yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on in the podcast, we're going to be talking about the column heard round the world as my buddy Joseph Hayes tackled the Jim Caldwell employment situation for the Detroit Lions in a way that not really anyone publicly has ever talked about his racial component as a black man trying to coach a football team. He is the first black Lions coach. So he tackled that one. I'm going to have some thoughts on that a little bit later as well. But I was surprised watching games on Christmas Day this year in the NBA to see that there were no special jerseys, no new Nike uniforms. And of course, wasn't that surprised to find out news that they were coming and they were on the way. Well, they were introduced on Wednesday morning, came out on the internet. The Pistons had a news release on it as well. And the Pistons will wear their new uniforms 9 times this season, starting January 30th against Cleveland. I wonder if there's some story there that maybe the people who were developing the uniforms decided that having them come out later in the season as opposed to Christmas might be better for selling the uniforms or marketing or something like that. But the Pistons one, it's very basic. It's kind of a lot like the third alternates that they've had the last couple of years, and that they say Motor City across the breastplate there. So a little bit different than, of course, being a Detroit or Pistons or anything like that in the past. But I don't really have all that many profound thoughts about them. You should look for them online. They're easy to find if you want to get a picture, but they're blue with gray instead of those Motor City ones that were blue with red lettering and whatnot on there. So they went with the blue Motor City jerseys before from Adidas, and now they had those Sunday special jerseys, and these ones are just the blue and gray as opposed to having that red in there. I'll reach out to Justin from RepTheSquad.com, by the way, and to see if they will be getting those soon. I looked at some of the other ones around the league, and was impressed with Chicago's, impressed with Golden State's. Also, one that stood out to me was Milwaukee's. The Bucks have cream-colored uniforms, and they're real clean. I like what the Bucks have going on in theirs. And I found out that right around the belt area and the elastic bands, there's kind of a little symbol on some of the team's uniforms, and it says how the Milwaukee is Cream City. And I didn't know that Milwaukee was known as Cream City, apparently. The brick in some of the buildings in Milwaukee and around the Lake Michigan, you know, Wisconsin area is cream-colored brick. So Milwaukee is known as Cream City. So it's something that I didn't know. So there, some Milwaukee knowledge passed along for you, the Locked On Pistons listener. So, you know, it's another way for the Pistons and the NBA to market themselves. It'll be interesting to see what fans and NBA Twitter has to say when those jerseys are actually worn. But LeBron and the Cavs coming in for January 30th, a little bit later on, well, actually early on in 2018. So check out those new unis that the Pistons will be having. Let me know on Twitter at @Matt_SCHOCH, another underscore after that, what you think about these new Motor City uniforms, or if you don't care, if you're just someone who doesn't really care about what the Pistons uniforms look like online. But we're going to be talking a little bit about the Jim Caldwell column that Joseph Hayes wrote in the Port Huron Times Herald that was all over the internet. It was on Freep.com as well. The Detroit News talked about it a little bit too. And he was on, I believe he was on 97.1. I listened to the Locked On Lions episode with host Matt Derry, where he had Joseph on Wednesday as well. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that here on Locked On Pistons. All right, so I've intentionally had this segment as the last one on today's podcast, as I know some people don't want to mix their racism talk and political talk and whatnot with their sports. So if you're not into that kind of talk, and you just want to have this be all about the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons are playing on Thursday night in Orlando without Reggie Jackson, so we'll see how that goes, and we'll be back on Locked On Pistons for a Friday episode to wrap up that one too. But we're going to talk a little bit about Joseph Hayes' column that was in the Port Huron Times Herald, appeared online on Tuesday night, and also appeared and was heavily promoted by Freep.com throughout Tuesday night and Wednesday too. Joseph was on Matt Derry's Locked On Lions podcast. I would encourage you guys to listen to that interview from Wednesday, and also listen to Locked On Lions every day, as I do all the time as well. Matt does a great job. He's a friend of mine from WDFN. I was one of the gophers in the back, producer, part-time intern type, and he was obviously one of the star guests, hosts, and update guys and all that kind of stuff. And he moved on to an even more big-time radio career after that as well. But Joseph is a columnist for the Port Huron Times Herald, the paper that I used to work at, and we'll hopefully have him on the Locked On Pistons podcast at some point, maybe after this dies down a little bit, as the firestorm he's created, we'll probably get him on the Today Show or something soon. But I met him when I was working at the Times Herald. He came on board probably about 2007 or 08, a year or two years or so after I was already working there, and he was my coworker on the sports staff until I left Port Huron in 2010. It was my first job out of college and his too. I think Joseph might be a year or so older, or I might be a year or so older than Joseph, actually. He's a Detroit guy. He went to Eastern Michigan as well as I went to Central. But he wrote that column that appeared in the Port Huron Times Herald about how the angst and the calling for the firing of Jim Caldwell relates to race and racism. Like I said, it was promoted heavily on Freep.com and may also have ran in the print edition of the Free Press, but I'm not sure about that. It essentially said that fans and members of the media have treated Jim Caldwell, the Lions coach, unfairly in his 4 years in Detroit, and that some of the reason he's disliked and some of the reason that many people want him fired is because of his race. I admire Joseph's firmness in his beliefs. I will say that first and foremost. He writes a religion column for the Times Herald, which also talks about how the end of the world is nearing. Often it's complete with Bible verses and everything. It's the kind of deeply held beliefs that most journalists wouldn't dream about printing. So there's something to admire about that, even though, of course, it comes off as very preachy, because that's essentially what it is, and I'm sure Joseph would admit to that, too, that it's preaching. He's a good guy. He's a friend of mine. Whenever I see him, I saw him a couple years ago when I was visiting Port Huron for the summer. He was asking about how my family's doing and all that kind of good stuff too. So of course I wanted to get that out of the way. He's a friend of mine, and I hope he's doing okay throughout this. I hope he's in some small way enjoying a little bit of the fame that's coming along with this and not being too, torn up by some of the negative reaction that's coming in about it. So it's just football. It's just, you know, and it's important to have these conversations, and it's important to bring up some of these things, but hopefully at a personal level, it's not bothering him or anyone like that too much. He's a very opinionated guy. And in the column, he talks about how Matthew Stafford's the most clutch QB in league history. And he says, yeah, look it up in parentheses. And it kind of as if there's some kind of be-all, end-all metric that sums up quote unquote clutch quarterbacks. And none of that has to do with postseason games or even big regular season games against good teams. And I like Matthew Stafford, but to say that he's kind of the most clutch quarterback in NFL history because he has, I don't know if it was most fourth quarter comebacks than anyone, whatever stat that Joseph is referring to, it's just incorrect when you talk about guys like Brady and Montana or whatever else. So when you're putting out a column like that that's going to be unpopular, it's going to have a lot of people trying to poke holes in it, you got to make sure that you're right on your facts, first of all, and that you're opinions can have holes poked in them. And it kind of goes on with other things about that. Several members of the coaching staff who are considered future head coaches is another point that he was emphasizing in the story. Terrell Austin and Jim Bob Cooter, well, it hasn't happened yet for any of those guys. And based on the performances of their units lately for the Lions, I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon. I think the sheen is kind of not as strong for those guys as time has gone on. Now, Joseph's a one-man sports staff right now in Port Huron, as far as I know. And I think that it could have used another look before publishing. Some of the examples that he used are pretty bad ones. He said that Jeff Blashill hasn't gotten the heat that Caldwell has received, the Red Wings coach. Well, the only reason for that is that the Lions are the biggest story in Detroit sports all the time, and the Red Wings are irrelevant right now. And part of that is because of Blashill, and in part because of the roster. And I don't know a single Red Wings fan who thinks Blashill should not be fired. So to say that people are supporting Blashill and not a white guy and not supporting Caldwell. I'm not seeing that at all. He also goes on, Joseph, to cite that Mike Zimmer in Minnesota is a guy who has had less success than Caldwell and is not on the hot seat. It's an unfortunate comparison for the column because, and Joseph, to his credit, went on the Locked On Lions interview. It's the obvious glaring error in the column, but he clarified that he was talking about Zimmer going into the season and that I think Caldwell had like one more win in his first 3 years with the teams than Zimmer did with Minnesota. And now that Zimmer has won the division, he's probably looking at getting a bye in the first round of the NFC playoffs. It looks kind of foolish. But going into the season, I don't think anybody was talking about firing Caldwell or Zimmer. So I don't understand what the comparison of going into the season has to really do with anything. So to bring up that guy who was 12-3, coaching the hottest team in football, might be the favorites to win the NFC with the Eagles struggling, with a third-string quarterback at the helm, it kind of makes for an easy target to poke holes in, along with bringing up Jason Garrett like he did in the story. It's kind of the same thing. It's a guy who, first of all, has won playoff games and won division titles, but he's also a guy who's a national punchline and a guy who is feeling the heat from a lot of fans down in Dallas. So, again, I just think bringing up those two guys, there are guys you could have brought up. I mean, the Jeff Fisher story of how he hung on with the Rams forever, something like that, of these older white guys who seem to have the advantages and second chances that maybe a Jim Caldwell hasn't received throughout his career. But to bring up Jason Garrett, who, like I said, a national joke, and Mike Zimmer, who you might put money on today to be in the Super Bowl in a few weeks, it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. And then bringing it back full circle to the Locked On Pistons here, Stan Van Gundy, he also brought up in the story. He said the Pistons are spinning their wheels in year four with Van Gundy. It's kind of hard to make that point when the Pistons are having a pretty good year. And I don't think I'm being a homer or biased when I say that at this point. I think Joseph, by the way, is the only guy who thinks Joe Dumars deserved more time to turn the Pistons around. He loved Joe D. And I remember we had a lot of those arguments back in the 2010-2009 days about how the moves that Joe D wasn't making as the Pistons started to crumble from the glory days a little bit. And I remember him thinking that Joe D was getting a bad rap from the media back then. I think he's got a little bit of a grudge against the Pistons for getting rid of Dumars. Although I thought it was at least about a year or so too late that they did get rid of him. I think he's written in columns since then that, Dumars was kind of a scapegoat and didn't deserve to go away from the Pistons. I will say, though, it's a joke that Dumars hasn't gotten looks from any other NBA team since he's left Detroit about jobs high up in their front offices or even to be running teams since his days with the Pistons. Now, moving back to the column, Justin Rogers of the Detroit News, he took offense to it, and he was one of the guys who led the press conference on Wednesday with a question about it to Jim Caldwell. And I think guys like Justin and Dave Burkett of the Free Press, those guys are pros and well-respected. And I don't necessarily think that Joseph was talking about the beat writers covering the team when he talked about the racial animus that's against Caldwell, but more about the talking heads surrounding Detroit sports. And I think that maybe you should have clarified that a little bit more before guys that are in the trenches and cover the team on a daily basis. And I don't know how you could possibly look at the work of guys like Justin Rogers and Dave Burkett and say it has anything to do with race as they kind of do their jobs every day. I just don't see how you could make that connection. Maybe there's something I'm missing with those guys, or maybe a particular piece that stands out that Joseph read that I didn't know about. But I think you kind of need to make some distinctions as far as, you know, because then you're going to have guys like Dave Burkett who came out today. And I like Dave, and I used to work for Dave at the Oakland Press too. And he came out and said, you know, this guy isn't around the team every day. He's never talked to us. He doesn't know anything about what Caldwell thinks about the situation. I think Justin Rogers was alluding to some of that stuff too. And, you know, it's just one of those things that beat writers say when people from the outside give their opinion on something. And so it kind of sparks up those kind of arguments that are maybe a little bit irrelevant to the discussion at hand. And I see it as far as Carl Caldwell. There's definitely a wave of Lions fans who have wanted him to be fired for a long time. And the guys I watch the Lions with every Sunday with will disagree with me on this because they wanted him fired, midway through the season when you could see that this year was crumbling already. But to Caldwell and Joseph's credit, there's certainly a case to be made that if you look at the numbers, you look at the performance, you look at the facts, that Caldwell, especially given the futility of this Lions franchise for decades, he deserves at least one more year to kind of get this team a playoff win. And I kind of agree. And I think I think he kind of does deserve a shot at another season, but they're the Lions, and I kind of don't care anymore about what decision they will or won't make. It's not Caldwell's fault. It's 60 years of futility that's got me on that train of thought. And a lot of the bummer NFL things from the last few years, including the Trump stuff, the injury stuff, the concussion stuff, that's made it just kind of depressing to be an NFL fan, as if being a Lions fan in and of itself wasn't enough. So, the reasons against Caldwell, though, they're out there. The team has regressed throughout the season the last couple of years. His questionable decision-making in the Dallas game in the playoffs hurt that team's chances at the win in 2004, the elusive playoff victory. Although, given that the team went 11-5 that year, it's certainly a net positive for Caldwell's legacy. The 1-7 start the next year didn't help. But how many NFL coaches are popular with their fan bases right now? And a little, very little of that has to do with race, I think, in my opinion. And it's easy to say a lot of things in my position as a white dude from the suburbs. But Belichick, McVay with the Rams, maybe Pete Carroll, and certainly Mike Zimmer and Tomlin, Rivera. There's like 10 coaches, maybe less than that, that are popular with their fan bases at time. That and even those guys aren't bulletproof in some ways. It's a fickle world that those guys live on. Now, I'm certainly never been someone who's ever said that we live in like a post-racial America. But even on top of that, my eyes have been opened up about racism in this country a lot in the past year and a half or so. So to not pick up on the cues about how people talk about Jim Caldwell, you'd have to be kind of ignorant not to see them. The talking about him like he's stupid on the sidelines and stuff like that. There is a racial element to that, certainly. And then there's the vocal minority of empowered racists out there that Joseph has been hearing about and alluding to on Twitter through emails and everything like that. And that empowerment from President Trump and everyone else recently only has pushed those people further from the margins and shown that the vocal minority, as I call it, isn't as much of a minority as I thought it was. So it's got to be horrible to deal with some of those folks. And some of them are just lost causes and probably color all of your perceptions and Joseph's perceptions as he navigates through society in a much different way than people like me do. And it must be tough. And that's the other thing. I won't pretend to know what it's like to be in Joseph's shoes or Jim Caldwell's shoes or any black African-American male shoes. I suspect, in fact, pretty much I know that I can tell that it's often unpleasant and terrible at times. So hats off, first of all, to Joseph for writing the column. And although, like I said, I would have reworked some parts of it and omitted some of those examples that kind of made it easy to poke holes in, I certainly wouldn't be pissed if the Lions brought back Caldwell, and I think he kind of deserves it. And I think there should be more people out there who believe that too, and race is certainly one of the reasons that that isn't happening in some corners of the fan base. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it. It's been widely panned in some corners of the internet, and then there's a lot of people who really support it out there. So again, we're going to go back to basketball here going forward on Locked On Pistons, but get with us on draft.com. Use promo code LO Pistons. Get with us for next Draft Wednesday. We're going to be back on Friday to recap the Orlando Magic game, and then a little bit of an abbreviated schedule next week as the new year comes about. But I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you later here on Locked On Pistons.